Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our epistle reading from Philemon, Paul's letter to Philemon. And in verses 15 and 16, Paul appeals to Philemon regarding his runaway slave Onesimus, and he says, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, both in flesh and in the Lord." And then in verse 20, Paul appeals deeply to Philemon. This time I'm sharing it literally from the original Greek. And he says, "Give rest to my bowels in Christ." This is our text. Now, as I begin this message today, I owe a great debt, a debt of gratitude to our now fully sainted brother in Christ that most of us here still remember and cherish, Alan Heitschmidt, and our dear sister, Kathy, who is with us. As many of the thoughts that I will be sharing with you today have actually come from this book, that once belonged to Alan, that Kathy gave me a couple of years ago. It is volume 29 of Luther's works, where we have in part a transcript of the three nights of lectures from Martin Luther in 1527 on Paul's letter to Philemon. This letter, it is a very private and personal letter that Paul writes while he is in prison in Colossae to a dear friend, a fellow worker in Christ, he says in verse 1, to a man named Philemon, regarding Philemon's runaway slave Onesimus, whom Paul now considers to be my child. This letter can perhaps, I think, be best understood by us today as a case study, as a real life example of how any and all of us can best reconcile or make right the debts that we owe as Christians. And we all understand debt. Every one of us, I'm pretty confident, either currently is or has been in the past in debt. Not only is our U.S. government currently $39.4 trillion in debt, but the average, which means many or most of us owe much more, the average American has a personal debt of $105,000. Paul does, in fact, address financial and or property debt here in his letter to Philemon, mentioning the fact that Onesimus likely wronged Philemon in some way when he ran away, not only by breaking his trust when he left without consent, but possibly, it appears, even taking something of Philemon's belongings as well. But the greater debt that Paul addresses in this letter is what I would like to call relational debt. And in that department, there is a whole lot of debt addressed in this one short letter. Now, all of you, you may not call it relational debt, but friends, you and I have a whole lot in our lives as well. Relational debt refers to all of the little and big things that we have done in all of our various relationships that have caused hurt, offense, or a break in those relationships. Think, just for example, of the quick and thoughtless, yes, that includes sarcastic comments that you have made to your spouse, your children, your brother or sister, your mom or dad, your friends or coworkers. that hurt their feelings, that cut them down, or were just plain mean. Each one of those, is a debt, a mark in the "you blew it good" in that column. And that debt has now caused a divide in that relationship, so that you owe something to that person. Whether it is a sincere confession of sin, an apology, or a promise that you will seek to change the way that you speak to him or her, or some other way that you will work to repair and reconcile that relationship. Now, that's only one small example of relational debt. We have physical and material ways that we also hurt or harm our various relationships as well. So yes, we all are guilty of adding to our relational debt load countless times each day. Paul refers to quite a lot of relational debt between Philemon, Onesimus, and himself in this letter. Onesimus, he owes Philemon for deserting his legal duty as a slave and possibly taking something that did not belong to him when he left. Onesimus also owes Paul his very life, not only for teaching him of Christ, but for loving him so undeservedly as a father loves his own child. In verse 19, Paul says that Philemon owes Paul his own self, since Philemon apparently came to be forgiven and be a saved Christian through Paul's teaching as well. And now, because of Christ's work in those two men's lives, Philemon now owes Onesimus the Christian responsibility of grace, that undeserved love from Jesus that Christian brothers and sisters owe to each other as fellow believers in Christ's church. It is actually a mutual understanding that Martin Luther taught even on his deathbed, where moments after his death, a piece of paper was found in his pocket that read, "We all are beggars. This is true." To be a beggar is to be the ultimate debtor. To acknowledge that we are entirely broke, that we must depend upon someone else for those things that we need most to survive, yes, in this life, but especially in the next. And that important lesson of humility, of necessity, of admitting, "I am a beggar, a debtor before you as a fellow human being because of the things I have done to wrong you, and perhaps because of the things that you have taught me or that you have given to me or the way that you have loved me when I have not deserved it." That realization that I owe you or someone else the debt of gratitude in a confession that I was wrong. Those three words that none of us likes to ever say, but we must. That I am not as great as I was trying to make you think I was. Paul says this is the first lesson that he's trying to teach Philemon, Onesimus, and you and me today in how we reconcile our enormous debt as Christians. We see Paul set the example of this humility at the beginning of his letter, where he spends a number of verses doing what I would call leveling the relational field. Now, Luther, he called it, quote, "taking advantage of acute embarrassment as a person of low estate." I like mine, it's a little bit shorter. Leveling the relational field. In other words, Paul, even though he had the spiritual authority as an elder as an apostle of Christ, to just come out and demand that Philemon forgive and take Onesimus back now as a Christian brother instead of a slave. Paul didn't do that. Why? Because as he says in verse 14, I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Now that actually reminds me of the saying, you attract more flies with honey than with vinegar. If I really want to make amends with you, or I want to convince you to make amends with someone else that has offended you, I am going to have much more success if I appeal to you as an equal, as a friend, than if I just come out like a bowl in a china closet and try to command that you and the other person just stop it and get along. So, Paul doesn't do that. He commends Philemon first as a fellow worker in Christ. He compliments Philemon for his love and the faith that he has, quote, toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints, unquote. Even calling him my brother in verse 7 and saying literally in the Greek, because the bowels of the saints have been put at rest through you. Luther says of Paul's example, this is a supreme art and an example for us to consider here, for we see how brethren are to be handled if they fall. It is our duty to encourage our fellow Christians this way in the church. Now, I could tell by your facial expressions, I know that it seems a bit strange to us, and Luther says that it is even strange to Germans in his day, the way that Paul talks about the bowels of the saints being put to rest by the way that Philemon cared for and comforted those Christians that were apparently meeting for worship and ministry in his own home. But you see, at the time of the New Testament, they understood the seat of a person's emotions and deepest affections to be found in their belly. Because, well, after all, that's where we often feel these things churning about inside of us in both tender and stress-filled moments, don't we? And the Greek word that our English translations have as refreshed, anapao, is more literally to put at rest. It is an agricultural term for that day when a farmer lets a piece of land rest from the stress of heavy growing for a season. This is the kind of relief that Philemon is providing to those whom he is ministering to in Jesus' name. Their bowels are at rest. So, by complimenting him for this, Paul is leveling the field, saying that he and Philemon are equals, and he's doing it in a very intimate, very gut-felt way for that culture. In fact, Paul continues the sentiment in verse 12 as well, when he tells Philemon of his deep love for Onesimus, now that he has come to faith in Jesus and is serving Paul as a prisoner for Christ at that time. Paul literally says in the Greek, I am sending him to you as a higher authority. He is my bowels. In other words, my innermost being. Right there, Paul both acknowledges Philemon's legal authority over Onesimus and how deeply he has become connected to Onesimus during their time together. Luther says, that is certainly a precious recommendation. This carries a great force of persuasion, If Paul had recommended his very bowels to me, Luther, I would have said, be free, Onesimus. I would want to open everything in the house to Paul's bowels. It was impossible for Philemon not to accept it. Only Luther can speak that way. But it's then that Paul takes Philemon and the rest of us to the final and most crucial part of this relationship, to true Christian reconciliation. And Paul sets the example in verses 17 through 19. So, he says to Philemon, if you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I will repay it. In essence, Paul says, consider me now to be your debtor instead of Onesimus, so that the relationship between you and him can be completely repaired, and he will be to you 100% debt-free. Well, in reality, Paul is only following the precedent here that Jesus first taught, equating our sins and trespasses to that of debt. You see, when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12 and Luke 11:4, he used the Greek word ophelema, which literally refers to a money debt. But in the next sentence in Luke, he equates it to the Greek word hamartia, which speaks of our sins or trespasses against God. So literally, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive all who are debtors to us. That's the way that Luke 11:4 gives us the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. This is Onesimus's spiritual reality that Paul is seeking to get Philemon to recognize and embrace. Just as Paul promises to pay for all of Onesimus's earthly debt, Jesus has paid in full for his spiritual debt regarding his eternal relationship with God the Father. And it's the same for every one of us here today. Jesus told the Father, consider me now to be your debtor instead of Keith, or Clint, or Betty, or Jean, or Joanne, and I can keep on going. I, Jesus, not only promise to pay for all of their sin toward you and toward others, but I have already paid for it all in my sacrifice on the cross. It is finished. This means that Onesimus's reality has changed entirely, hasn't it? No longer is he useless, a useless runaway slave, but now he is a useful beloved brother in Christ. No longer a sinner, but now a saint in the Father's eyes. And it was the same for Philemon when he heard the gospel of Christ through Paul. The same for Paul himself when Christ came to him on the Damascus Road and converted him from being a persecutor of Christians into an apostle of Christ Jesus himself. So guess what, friends? It was the same for you and for me. When the full payment for our sins that Jesus earned at the cross was posted to our personal account in heaven at our baptism, everything changed. You and I went from useless to useful, from sinner to saint, from slave to sin to fellow worker in Christ's ministry, from adversary of Jesus to ambassador of Jesus and his saving work to all those around us who still might resist the free gifts of salvation and eternal life by the blood of Jesus alone. Thus we have a private epistle, says Luther, from which much should be learned, how brethren are to be commended. That is, that an example might be provided to the church, how we ought to take care of those who fall and restore those who err. The kingdom of Christ, Luther says, is a kingdom of mercy and grace. Yes, it is only through the mercy and grace of Jesus that not only our relational debt here on earth, but far more our spiritual debt with the Father is now paid in full forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.